that we would hear the sound of the nations begin to cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Oh, God, we thank you this morning. We exalt you, Jesus, and we thank you that you are the name above every other name, the name in which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We declare your lordship in this place today. Lord, we declare you are worthy. And our simple prayer is, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. More, Lord. More of you, Jesus. More. We thank you for your word and we thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your anointing. Oh, that breaks the yoke. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're setting a bit of a foundation at the moment about the kingdom of God. For those that weren't here last week, you can listen to that on the internet, on Spotify, on Apple. We're setting a bit of a foundation. Because we need a greater revelation. We need a greater insight about the kingdom of God. I think sometimes we can speak Christianese. We can speak the language. We can say all kinds of words, but have we had a revelation about what those words really mean? We can sound the part, but God wants us to have a revelation because it's revelation that brings transformation. That we don't just have it in our minds, but there's a revelation, there's an opening, there's an awakening within us that the revelation would bring a transformation in our life. And I know that most of you, if not all of you, know what I'm talking about. When you get a revelation from God, that brings transformation within your life. When you get a revelation that you are truly loved, even on your worst days, and that nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. You are transformed from the inside out because it's not based upon feelings. It's not based upon if you're having a good day or not. It's not based upon that. It's based upon Him. It's based upon His truth. That was so right what May said. The enemy tries to get us to doubt not only the Word of God, but the character of God. Because God is raising a people right across the nations. In these end times, in these end days, He's raising up a people that will arise and shine the glory of God. Is there an amen? That will not bow to principalities or powers or religion or anything else. That don't need the applause of man because they know that they stand before the King of Kings. It's my passion to see this in our nation and in the nations more and more and more, that we would understand who we are in Christ and what Christ has done for us. We get back to the simple gospel where there's power for transformation. Amen. We need to be the people that Peter spoke about. But you together in 1 Peter 2:9, you together are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people for His possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We are a people from different backgrounds, different cultures, different generations, but together we are God's people. We're a holy people. The word holy, we're set apart. We don't look like the others. We don't sound like the others. We don't live like the others because we're God's people. We sound different. We look different. We speak differently. There's a different sound that comes from us because we're God's people. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is his right way of living. We cannot marry, as I said last week, we cannot marry life as we know it to being born again in the kingdom. There is no union there. There is no marriage between before Christ and after Christ because I've been born again. I'm a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Oh, I was once in darkness, but now I've been brought into his light. There is no marriage. There is no interconnection. There is no union. And God wants us to understand more and more what it means to be a born again, you know, blood bought, spirit filled son of the King. Show. Sorry. I shouldn't say sorry. Show. Go for it. Rosalind said, go for it. Show. You know, we're not going to go there today because there's a message in itself. But if you turn to Ezekiel 44, you'll hear about the priesthood. And you'll hear about two different types of priests, the Levites and the Zadokites. They were all priests, but during when Israel went astray, part of the priesthood went astray and they were unfaithful to God, but the Zadokites remained faithful to God. Have a read of it and then cross-reference it to when Absalom was trying to take the throne off David. And all the way through from there on, when, you know, Israel was being unfaithful, the priesthood had a decision. Do I stand with God's anointed? Do I stand with God or do I go astray? And we read the outcome of Ezekiel 44, that in the priesthood there were the Levites and there was the Zadokites, and the Zadokites were the ones that remained faithful. And this is what he says. He says that it is the Zadokites who can teach they can come near me, it says. The Zadokites can come near me and they can teach my people the difference between the holy and the common. The opposite of holy is common. Are we living a common life? Or are we living a holy life, set apart for God? Thanks, Eddie. Bless you. The Zadokites who had remained faithful to God through it all, it was they that could teach the people the difference between the holy and the common. We've been born again into the kingdom of God. It is a different way, a completely different way. The beautiful thing about the new covenant that we've been reminded of time and time again over the last 12 months as we taught about it, in Ezekiel 36, we are reminded, he said, the Lord says, I will give you a new heart and I will put my spirit within you and I will move you to follow my decrees. What we couldn't do for ourselves, God did for us. I will give you a new heart. I'll put my spirit in you and I will move you to follow me. It's a different way. It's a whole different way. It's a different way of seeing. It's a different way of hearing. It's a different way of living. It's a different way. It is a completely different way. And our simple prayer should be, Lord, show me your kingdom. Give me a revelation of your kingdom that I would walk, speak, sound, look different. Because the thing about arising and shining from Isaiah 60 is that in that time there was darkness over the earth and thick darkness over the people. But the Lord said, arise and shine my glory. We are called to stand out. We are called to be different. Is there an amen? You know, Jesus spoke about this. And he said in John 13, he said, a new commandment I give to you. And he said, love one another as I have loved you. And by the way that you love one another, people will know that you are my disciples. By the interaction and the level of relationship that was going on between the people, they knew that they were the disciples. And we see that in the book of Acts, don't we? We see after being born again, the way that they lived differently. But they lived in such a way that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, we're in covenant. Tom referenced it before. We're in covenant. We're part of the new covenant. What God couldn't do for us, I'm sorry, what we couldn't do for God, God did for us. He's done it. He's done it all. He's the keeper of the covenant. Because it says according to Scripture that those who are truly born again receive the Holy Spirit. Is there an amen? And then it says in Scripture, it is written, the Holy Spirit is a down payment guaranteeing what is to come. Amen? If you have received the Holy Spirit, He has been given as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. He is the keeper of the covenant. For He cannot disown Himself. Otherwise, it's left up to us again, isn't it? I'm having a bad day today. I don't know if I'm saved. I'm struggling with some things in life. I don't know if I'm saved. There are so many Christians out there that have not had a revelation of what God has done for them, that are still trying to measure up, when in fact we've been born again. The essence of what we saw in the book of Acts, the essence of what we see in the book of Acts came from this place. They were cut to the heart on the day of Pentecost. And they said, brothers, what shall we do? What must we do to be saved? Their hearts were being rendered. And I wonder how many people that attend church over our nation have truly had their heart rendered. Are they just attending church because it's what someone told them to do? Is it just a tradition that they're following their family line, or has their heart been rendered? Because I can tell you now that when your heart has been rendered, things change. So much changes when your heart's been rendered. Even when you're going through the hardest stuff, you can't do anything else. You can't walk away because your heart is with God. Jesus spoke about a leader or a type of leader that when things got hard, they left. And that's when he said, I am the good shepherd. And a good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. But it makes me wonder, were these people ever called to be leaders? Because when you know, you can't do anything else. And it's the same in your relationship with God. If you've truly had an encounter with Him, if your heart has been torn in a sense, you've been born again and you've received the gift of the Spirit, you just got to keep walking. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. There's no turning back. And then this is the really tricky verse. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. That's hard. When you're the person in your family that is following Jesus and the others are not. That's hard. There's no other option, is there? That's why we're here today. My prayer is that if you haven't had an encounter with Jesus, then start to cry out because He answers. I trust the Lord. And He heard and He answered. If you start to say, God, I need to know you, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get to know Him. God, I need you. He's going to reveal Himself to you. God, I want to know you more. He's going to start revealing Himself to you more. He answers the cry of your heart. So my prayer is that if you haven't, you start to pray those things. If you've crossed over, if you've crossed through the Red Sea, you've crossed over through the blood of Jesus, don't just stay in the wilderness. Enter into the promises of God. Israel had two crossings, the Red Sea and the Jordan. One was the blood, one was the spirit, or symbolic. We've crossed over. We've been delivered from slavery, delivered from Egypt, delivered out of that place through the blood, through the Red Sea, through the blood of Jesus. And we've been brought into a place where fresh manna is ours every day. But he said, I never designed you just to stay in the wilderness, because I have a place for you. And there are promises of God that are yes and amen in Christ that the church still hasn't fully tapped into. And it's time for us to not be content with the wilderness and the fresh manna every day and say, God, baptize us with your spirit afresh. Ho, let us go through the waters, because we want to enter into the fullness of the promises that are yes and amen in Christ. You have been purchased. You've been brought. You're anointed. You're gifted. You're graced. He has given you everything you need for life and godliness. There's more, 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 more. It's the best Christmas present ever, because there's always more. What would happen if we start saying, God, more, more? I was thinking about that during worship, because Jesus said, let the little children come to me. You know what little children do to their parents? More, more. Little Viola, because Nick and Krista are living with us still, little Viola, she loves her food. She really loves her food. And she's just like, more, 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 more. It's like she can have five breakfasts. And somehow when we get to adulthood, we go, oh no, that's a bit, no. No, I'm grown up now. I'm all grown up now. No. We're meant to be childlike, not childish. Leave the childish ways behind, absolutely. But be childlike. More, Lord. I need you more. More. More, Lord. More, Lord. There's something in me. There's this cry, more, Lord. What would happen if we just start crying out more? Like a little child. Sure. Are we willing to fully yield? Are we willing to fully surrender? Are we willing to lay down everything? Because narrow is the path that leads to life. I think what's happening at the moment across the world with everything, what's happening in the church across the world, is that there's no place for lukewarmness anymore. You're going to be hot or you're going to be cold. Oh, I don't know about you. I want to be one of the hot ones. Anyone else want to be on fire for Jesus? Sure. There's no place for lukewarmness anymore. Jesus said, I would rather you be hot or cold, not lukewarm. I'll spit you out of my mouth. Why? Why would he say that? Have you ever thought about that? If you're hot for Jesus, you are going to glorify him with every aspect of your life. If you're cold, you're cold. But if you're lukewarm, you go around telling people you're a Christian, but then all this stuff in your life doesn't stack up and you actually dishonor him. That's why he said, I'd rather you hot or cold, because a lukewarm Christian only dishonors the Lord. Sorry if that was a little bit. Whoa. Anyway, where am I going with this? The place of surrender The place of yielding is actually the place of freedom. The place of yielding, the place of surrender, is actually the place of freedom. And I'm not sure that we understand that, because there's something in us of the flesh that doesn't like to yield and doesn't like to surrender. We like to have some sort of control. But Jesus said, out of death comes life. It's the gospel. I remember 25 years ago, someone older in the faith said to me, Tim, you need to learn to submit. You need to have some fathers and mothers. You need to have some people that you submit to in your life that you receive from. And everything in me was like, nah, I don't like that. But I had the wrong mindset, because I thought it was about restriction. But true biblical submission is not about restriction. It's about protection. A true father wants to look after his children. He wants to protect them. He doesn't want to restrict them. A true father wants his kids to grow up and to be everything that they called to be. Is there an amen in the house today? That's what a parent wants to do. It's not about restricting, but it's about protecting. When you say to your children, no, 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 you shouldn't do that. Why? Because you know what the consequences can be. It's the same spiritually. The place of freedom is actually in submission. Go away and chew on that one for a while. To understand the kingdom, we have to have the Holy Spirit. You cannot see, you cannot enter the kingdom unless you've been born again. We need the Holy Spirit, because it's spirit, not flesh. I don't want to turn to a parable today as we set our foundations for this, however long we go for on this series about the kingdom of God. It's a well-known parable, and it's the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. Hands up, who's read the parable of the sower before? We probably all have. Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. Do we understand that this parable is actually a parable about the kingdom? Well, if you don't, you're going to read it today. Verse 19? Jesus explains it, and he says, when anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, you see, we need to hear the word about the kingdom. Not just hear it, but we need to hear it. Because in this parable, Jesus speaks to them, and this is what he says. This is verse 13. This is why I speak to them in parables, because looking they do not see, and hearing they do not understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled. You will listen and listen, but never understand. You will look and look, but never perceive. For these people's hearts have become callous, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, and they would turn back and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they do see, and your ears because they do hear. You see, Jesus is not speaking about seeing. He's talking about perceiving. That you're not just seeing with your natural eye, but you are perceiving something of the Spirit. And he's not just talking about hearing, like you're hearing my voice right now. No, he's talking about an understanding, so that you're going to perceive the kingdom and you're going to understand the kingdom. Because what happens when we perceive it and understand it means that we start to do it. When you start to understand something, you start to do it. Yep. How many men out there, when we're doing one of those put together kits, love following the instructions? There's a few, but not many. And sometimes you read them because they're like from China. Well, they're in English, but it's China. And you're like, I just do not understand which part this is. I don't understand how this thing goes together. And I'm like, oh. And eventually I say, hey, Bonnie, can you do this part? true story. I've had some fun times with put-together kits over the years. where I'm like, nah, that's it. I'm going anyway. But it's, we need to understand. Because when you understand something, you start to do it. And so the Lord doesn't want us to just hear. He wants us to understand. He doesn't just want us to see. He wants us to perceive. He wants us to see beyond. So in this parable, the parable of the sower, we have four types. We have four types of hearts. We have four different types of hearts in this parable. Please stay with me, because I really believe the Lord's going to speak to you this morning through this. Please stay with me. Are we going okay? Okay. He talks about, first he says about the parable, he says, consider the sower, and he went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it didn't have much soil. It grew up quickly, and since there wasn't much soil, the sun came up and scorched it, and it had no root, and it withered. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. But still other seed fell on good ground and produced fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold what was sown. Let anyone who has ears, let him hear. So Jesus then starts to unpack it because they ask him questions. The best thing to do if you don't understand something is ask a question. Yep. Better than going away going, yeah, I understand that. Ask the question. This is what happens. So Jesus starts to unpack it. So from verse 18, he says, listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path. This is a hard heart. This is a proud heart. This is a heart that's proud, resistant. So that even when the truth is being spoken because of pride, there's a resistance and it doesn't go anywhere. Some of the hardest people to reach with anything are people that are proud. True. Proud people. People that are self-reliant. People that think they know it all. People that won't say sorry. People that won't deal with issues. Proud people. Hardest people to reach with the truth because they're proud. This is the heart. Please don't have a proud heart. Don't have a heart that's proud. But come to a place of surrender. Come to a place of humility. Come to a place of yielding to the Lord so that the word goes in you and actually starts to bear some fruit in your life. The enemy wants us to have ears that don't hear because he knows the power of the word. He knows the power of one when one receives the word. In verse 20, the one sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, but because he has no root and it's short-lived. When distress or persecution come because of the word, immediately they fall away. This is the lukewarm heart. This is the lukewarm heart. The one that in that moment goes, yeah, woo, hallelujah, yeah. But then walks out the door. And it's like, no, I just got to fit back in with the world. We hear something. And we get that immediate response and we're like, oh, yeah. But then there's no follow through. Some of you that know me a little bit, one of the things I say is the key to breakthrough is follow through. People wonder why they get something, but then they lose it. Why they gain something, but then it's gone. Why? Because they haven't followed through. The best thing to do if you've got a breakthrough is follow through with it. That's why I always say to people, if you've never grabbed the mic and you've never shared before, then grab the mic and start sharing. If you've never prophesied before, trust God, start to prophesy. But then people go, yeah, I did it once. That's awesome. Thank you, God. No, no, you got to do it again. Because the key to breakthrough is follow through. It's like if you go to the gym and you do it once and you use your muscles and then they get really sore, but you never go back to the gym again. You're not going to build any strength. You have to keep doing something. And it's the same spiritually. The key to breakthrough is follow through. Do it again. If you've never praised the Lord before, lift your voice and start praising Him. Because Scripture says, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Shout to the Lord. Praise His name. Oh, but I've never done that before. But don't just do it once. Do it again. And do it again. And do it again. And do it again. Because you know what? No lukewarmness, no apathy, no fear of man can stay in that place where you start praising the Lord. So, then he says in verse 22, now the one sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, and it becomes unfruitful. This is a heart. There is a desire here. But there is a cluttering. This is the cluttered heart. There is a desire in the midst of it to actually know the Lord, to actually walk with Him, to actually do what He's calling you to do. But the many worries and the deceitfulness of wealth, the things of this earth start to come in, good catch, and start to choke it because your heart is cluttered, cluttered. Because on one hand, you're going, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And then on the next hand, you're looking at your bank balance. You're looking at your superannuation. You're looking at your pay. You're looking at this. You're looking at your next car. You're looking at your next house. You're looking at this. You're looking at that. You're looking at your career path. You're looking at all this stuff. And all of a sudden, you get worried and worried and worried and worried. You're not going to have enough to retire upon. You're not going to have enough. And this is not going to happen. And that's not going to happen. And you just go, whoa. It's the cluttered heart. You know, sometimes it's actually good to go without because then you learn to appreciate what you have. I think that's why Paul said, I have learned to be content in all circumstances, whether with lot or with little. We have never ever stopped giving to God first, even when we had $6 in the bank. That day I had nothing left. And the Lord said, I want you to give everything that's in your wallet to the offering. And I resisted. But I was so yielded to God and I was under the conviction of the Spirit that I just had to, after the service had finished, I just had to go and put everything in my wallet in the offering of the church that I was at that day. But everything in me was resisting it. I want you to hear that. Everything of the flesh in me was resisting it. And the enemy was trying to get me to doubt the character of God. But I had to come to a place of like, oh, well, if this is what it is, I'm going to praise God. Paul learned to be content. But you know what? God knows. Because that day when we got home, there was $200 in our letterbox. I only had $20 left in my wallet. That's all I had. And we had $200 in our letterbox. God is faithful. God is good. Stand upon His word. Those who sow will reap. Those who sow will reap. Those who sow will reap. He's faithful. Don't let your heart become so cluttered that Jesus, the fruitfulness of Christ, the fullness of fruitfulness is not being displayed because your heart is cluttered. Is this okay? And then it's the one sown on good ground. It's the one who hears and the one who understands, who produces a crop 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. That's the yielded heart. That's the yielded heart. That's the heart that says, God, I want to know you. God, I want to know you more. God, I need you more. It's the yielded heart. Through the pain, through the trials, through the things, God, you are faithful. God, you are good. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. That's what David said. I would have lost heart except for this. I am confident that I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. That's the yielded heart. David's heart was yielded to God. And David saw things beyond what he should have seen in his lifetime. If you think about the way that David ministered to the Lord, it actually shouldn't have happened. He actually took a hold of things by faith that he shouldn't have under the old covenant. So where is your heart today? If we want to go on a journey of understanding the kingdom of God, if we want to go on a journey where God's going to show us how different it is. And I don't know about you, but as I've been spending time back in the Word about this series, you know, it's like there's more. It's one of those things that you keep digging and there's always more. You keep digging and there's always more. So where is your heart at today? You know, the amazing thing about God is that His mercies are new every morning. There is no one beyond God. He calls the prodigals home, the prodigal sons and daughters. The father's arms are wide open and he says, my beloved son, my beloved daughter, come home. It doesn't matter where you're at right now. You make the decision today and you come home. Oh, sure. Is your heart hard? Is it proud? Is it self-reliant? Today is the day to yield to God and say, God, remove that proud, stubborn heart in me that I would know you. I don't want the heart of stone. I want the heart of flesh. I want to know you. Is your heart the lukewarm heart where you've got that little bit of, yeah, that's right, but then you're just living it on a Sunday between 10 and 12. You're not opening scripture during the week. You're not praying. You're not thinking about God because there's too much else going on. Is that you? Do you have the cluttered heart? Where deep down there is that desire for more of God, but there's so much of this world that comes in and starts cluttering it. The Word of God says that He will once again shake the heavens and the earth, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But thanks be to God that we belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. If your life is truly seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, it will not be shaken. But if there's other stuff in there, it will be shaken. If your trust is in your bank balance, if your trust is in your job, if your trust is in health, if your trust is in stuff, it can be shaken. Our trust has to be in Him, in God. Is your heart yielded? That's a good place to be. But keep saying, more, God. More, Lord. The kingdom of God is a whole new way of living. We actually have to unlearn some stuff and be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have to relearn some things. It's like we said last week, is King Jesus on the throne of your life? Because where the king is, the kingdom will manifest. Music team, we desire to see a kingdom people raised. Have you ever had conversations with God? You have these conversations, you know. There's one thing I had to resolve before God this week, before I could come up here today. I had to resolve this, that it's not about numbers. But the desire is to see a kingdom people raised who think differently, who relate differently, who love differently, who live differently. And to this cause, I give myself. Hope. I read the Apostle Paul's letter. He said, I'm jealous over you. To see Christ formed in you. I presented you to Christ. I want you to be that bride. I want you to be that one before Christ. Jesus, Christ only. Jesus only mighty to save. Jesus only mighty to save. That we would be presented as one before Christ. To live is Christ and to die is gain. The best thing that could be on your headstone, your tombstone, would be a follower of the way. One who lived for Christ. Or something like that. So this morning the altar is open, the front is open. If you feel you have a proud heart and you need a touch of the Spirit, God will meet you in this place. He will touch your heart and it will come alive again. If you feel you're lukewarm, if you feel it's cluttered, come. Let the Holy Spirit do a work in your heart that you would become on fire for Jesus. And if you are walking with the Lord in that yielded heart state, then just come anyway and say, God, I want more. More of you, Lord. We're back here tonight at 5 o'clock and we're just going to come and surrender. We're just going to come and worship. We're going to see what God is going to do amongst us tonight. But don't leave this place if you feel the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning. Fellowship, have a cup of it, please come. Come and respond to the Lord. You're not coming to me, you're coming to Him. You're not responding to me, you're responding to Him. Jesus, thank you, Lord. You're King. King. King Jesus. Sure. Let's stand and worship.